Okay, I want to talk to you tonight about something that I hope will revolutionize how you see prayer. Now, the reason we felt to do these glory schools is that we've been gleaning ourselves for about 5 years now from Patricia King, Bill Johnson, Ian Clayton, Justin Abraham, and walking our own walk, walking our own pathway. There was a time when we used to help lead a church and we preached from good notions and good ideas of things that we thought probably were true. And there wasn't any fruit from it because we hadn't walked it ourselves, so we couldn't actually lead anybody under the covering. But this is something that we walk, and I really hope that it impacts you tonight to change the way you think about prayer. Before I start, I'm just going to lay a little couple of minutes foundation, okay? No prayer by itself is a magical incantation. You do not have to say the exact words, and you should not fall into the trap of saying the words of another and using their prayer like a magical incantation to make your Ferrari appear. Motions four times for a Ferrari to appear in the center of the room. Nothing. And the second one is this. Faith is a substance. It is a substance. Faith is a substance that you cannot see. It's as real and as tangible as the chair you think you're sitting on. Which is hilarious because it's actually, if it went from particle to wave format, you'd fall to the floor. Faith is a substance. It is the commodity of heaven. It is not gold or silver. It's faith and hope and love. Love's the greatest, but faith is in the list. Okay? Now, I want to teach you something real quick as well. Everything that happened in the Old Testament is a shadow of the things to come. It is not to be thrown away because Jesus died on the cross. It is still to be considered. Now, what did the priests do in the times of old? There was a platform, and they would put an offering on the platform and sacrifice on the platform, and God would go and take it. That is an acceptable and pleasing fragrance in my nostrils, he would say. God likes a barbecue. Faith is a platform, okay? You engage your faith. If you don't engage your faith, you've put nothing on the sacrificial platform. There's nothing for God to burn up and to accept as a pleasing offering. So I just want everybody, just put your hand on your head for a second, and we're going to say, out, deaf and dumb spirit. Okay, you ready? Out, deaf and dumb spirit. Okay. Now, the motion of the hand is not a magical incantation. And the words are not a magical incantation. But we're doing something in the natural to help click our body, soul, and spirit into faith. Do you get it? Do you understand? Do you want to do this out, deaf and dumb spirit again? You ready? Ready? hand on, grabbing, out, deaf and dumb spirit. Okay, that's good. 90% of you have removed your deaf and dumb spirit. That's fantastic. The other 10%, it's okay. I'm praying for you. It'll go. All right. Now we can talk about the juicy stuff. You ready? Okay, so I want to talk to you about, I want to point a few things out to you first, okay? Okay, you all have a paradigm. Okay, let me put it a different way. You all have an accent and I don't. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of you speak with an accent except me. Do you understand? Now, you don't think that. You think, I'm sorry, I keep picking on you. Don't crush your arms. It's okay, relax. Are you cold? You all right? All right, okay, it's good. It's good, it's comfy. This is body language for I'm not listening and I'm not receiving anything that you're saying. So I just wanted to check if you were relaxed or cold. So it's all right, I know you're just scratching your elbows. When you have a paradigm, it literally is a fence over what your mind will allow you to think and will allow you to receive. And if you keep the paradigm, it will be difficult for you to learn new things. Okay? Now, our main paradigm that we have and that we all accept is the Bible. Exactly, right? Right? The Bible, the Word of God. Yes, that's our paradigm. Yes, absolutely. Yes, especially the way that I read it. The way I read the Bible is my paradigm, and the way I interpret it is my paradigm. But the Bible says so much more than you realize. And we've been reading it for years, and we're like, oh, isn't that funny? Every time I read it, I get something new out of it. Duh. Your mind's expanding. Your paradigms are opening up, okay? We are spirits with souls living in a body. We are co-crucified with Christ. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Let's not strive to get somewhere where we already are. Let's change our minds to receive the truth that already exists. Wow. When they asked Jesus about prayer, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, this is how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Everybody took notes. Oh, yeah, man, this is gold. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So help me me. Oh, he was saying it. So help me God. Yes. I will pray that every day, and it will become a magical incantation, and it will affect my life. But it was a model. It's a model for prayer, okay? Now, in other places where Jesus talked about prayer, he said something very interesting. He said, when you pray, go blindly into battle, fighting and screaming like a wild man until things happen. No, he didn't actually say that. What verse is that? the book of Bob? Where did this come from? How does this get in my Bible? He didn't say that. What verse did he use when he talked about prayer? It's in Luke. It's the parable of the widow and the wicked judge. Right? It's a fantastic verse. You don't have to turn there. You can listen if you like. Okay? And it's this. I just want you to know, I'm using the Bible. It's not just my opinion. He said this. Oh, I should really just... I want to read it to you. But hilariously, I think I just thrown it on the floor. Sorry, it's been a while. I'm a little rusty. Oh, jeez, tough crowd. Hilariously, you know why I can't find it? I don't think I actually copied it. Anyway, so I am going to have to paraphrase it to you. He compares it to a court case, is the important part here. He talks about this woman, and she wants what she wants. She's got an adversary who's accused her of something. She wants what she wants, and what does she do? She go to the adversary? No, she goes to the judge. She says to the judge, this has happened. The judge says, I don't care. He says, this has happened, 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 this has happened. He goes, oh, for crying out loud. Shut up. Okay, a rule in your favor. Out of my face. And she's like, yes. She didn't go after the adversary. She went to the judge. She got a ruling from the judge, and it was done. We have spent far too long warring in warfare without the right to do so, and there is a way to get the right to do so, and that's by showing up in the court of heaven, where you already are. So let me show you how to get there. You ready? Everyone stand up for a minute. Okay? Again, this is not a magical incantation. You do not have to step forward to step into the court of heaven, but we are engaging faith right now. And so, Father God, can you take a step forward? Are you able to? If not, get to somewhere where you can take a step forward, okay? Father God, right now, Jesus on the cross tore the veil that separates heaven from earth. And Father God, right now, we take a step into the court of heaven. Whoa! There you are. Hey, guys. Hey, look at this court. Isn't it awesome? It's fantastic. Jesus, thank you for the court of heaven where you are ever interceding for us. But there's another issue. Satan is the accuser who stands before the brethren always accusing. Always. And I hate to say this, because Satan is a legalist. Every accusation he makes bears some truth. And he's there always accusing all of us. Because time is not a linear thing in heaven as we think of it. He's able to go there and accuse for every single thing about us all the time. And our job is simply to show up. And the word tells us in Matthew to agree quickly with our adversary. That doesn't seem right. Matthew 5:25, agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. And the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Ah, but James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we resist the devil? Like this? I resist you. No, we take a step into the court of heaven. And we come before the king, the great judge of all. And we agree quickly with our adversary. Oh, are you getting this? Okay, we're gonna do some of this as a practical thing, okay? Let me build up a little more. You don't have to stand. You can sit. You can sit. We're going to stand again. You can sit for now, okay? I want to read you some fantastic verses. I want to read you Zechariah. Anybody like Zechariah? Yes. It's an Old Testament book. So we should throw it away. No, we shouldn't. It's a good one. It's one of the minor prophets. Oh, no, don't listen to the minor prophets. You only listen to the major ones. No, the minor just means they wrote a bit less. That's all. It's still good. Zechariah 3. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. There he is. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. I've wasted so much time. The Lord, rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes. Okay, we find what Joshua was accused of. I want you to know, Joshua, a high priest, had to spend an entire year in the natural, cleansing himself in ritual cleansing, mind, body, and spirit, to be able to go through the veil into the Holy of Holies to present the sacrifice for Israel. I also want you to think for a second. It describes the veil in the temple, separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, as a 1-foot-thick, solid, woven piece of cloth. Layer of layer of layer of layer of layer, woven together. How did he get in? Before the veil was torn, Old Testament. These guys knew how to be in the spirit, I'm telling you. Shoo. He had to clean himself for an entire year. So he could have said, when Satan said, look at him, he's filthy. He could have said, I've spent a year cleaning myself up to be here. Look at me, I'm wearing my new shoes. Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes, and as he stood before the angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you. Then Zechariah said, whoa, hang on a minute, isn't Zechariah on earth? He's a prophet, right? He's human, right? What's he doing there? Then Zechariah said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head. Whoa, this guy's got authority. He's commanding the angels. Or he's making great suggestions and they like it. I don't care which. So they put a clean turban on his head and they clothed him. And while the angel of the Lord stood by, the angel of the Lord gave the charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in obedience to me, keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts. And I will give you a place among these standing here. And Zechariah was already there. Zechariah already knew the secret. Now you know the secret. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep charge, you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you access to my presence and places to walk among these who stand here. Wow. How did we miss this? It's in the Minor Prophets. Maybe we didn't read it. More, okay, so you need the witness of more than one, right? In Job 1. You don't even have to read all the way through to 34 or something. In Job 1, line 6, did anyone make it to line 6? There was a day when the sons, the angels of God, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, the adversary and accuser, also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, where'd you come from? Not, I don't know where you came from. Where did you come from, Satan? And Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down. They're not the same thing, by the way. He's a spirit being. To and fro could be, oh, I wish I could do that in front of you. That would be so cool. I'm working on it. there are those I know who have done so. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Now, you might be thinking, that's really mean. That's so mean of him to put Job in the firing line. But his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He knows what Satan is thinking and what Satan has already seen and what Satan is about to bring to him. He's saying, look, you're going to talk about Job. Come on, out with it. And Satan says, God says he's blameless. There's nothing you can accuse him of. He reverently fears and abstains and he shuns evil because it's wrong. And Satan says, does Job reverently fear God for nothing? Asking one of his horrible questions that he always asks to cast doubt. And then he says, you've put a hedge around him and his house and everything. No wonder he worships you. That's when God says, okay, Mr. Smart Guy. You think you're so smart. All right, take the hedge away. A hedge. There's got to be something stronger than a hedge to protect us from Satan.
I put a hedge of protection around you.
Oh, God, I found my weakness. I have no hedge clippers. Ah. And so on and so forth. And Job's a good boy. Takes it away, blah, blah, loses everything. Satan still accuses him. Yeah, it's his health. All right, go for his health. Takes his health away. Job, he doesn't do the bad thing. He doesn't turn away from Jesus at all. From God, from Jesus, from whatever. New Testament, Old Testament, whichever paradigm you want to believe. Oh. Do you know that you are part of the ecclesia? I hope you are part of the ecclesia. Are you? What's ecclesia mean? Called out. Called out to do what? Share the kingdom. What was this one over here? Heard something? Govern. Yes, bingo. Gold stars. Are there any gold stars? Give her a gold star. I didn't prepare well enough. Get that lady a cookie. Everywhere the Bible translates ecclesia, church. It says church. Ecclesia actually means the judicial, legislative, governmental people of God called to govern. That's what it really means. Ay, ay, ay. It speaks of a people with a legal position and a right. We have the right and the authority to put things legally into place so that God, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. Ah! Do you know that bind and loose are legal terms? Bind as in a binding contract. Loose as in that contract is null, that bit is null and void now. We're supposed to be praying in the courts of heaven. Listen to this. Hebrews 4:16. Let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. God's unmerited favor that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. We are told to come boldly before the throne. 1 John 1:9, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he's faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises. And he will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 43:25, I am he who blots out and cancels transgressions. For my own sake, I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance of them, and let us plead and argue together, set for your case that you may be justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. This one is the last one that's important. Then we're going to do some stuff, okay? Then I heard, no, that's good too. I'll read that in a minute, actually. Maybe there'll be two. Daniel 7:10, the judge was seated, the court was in session, and the books were opened. Do you know that he wrote every day of your life in a book? The day you were born, it's in Jeremiah and in Psalms. Do you know that he has a book for every nation on the earth? He has a plan. He has a purpose. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts, intents, and purposes towards us are good and for good, not evil, that we may prosper and succeed. We've spent so much time on this preach. No, sorry. We've spent so much time wrestling against flesh and blood. Instead of against rulers and principalities and spiritual yuckiness that's occupying places it should not. That's the NMV, the New Matt version. So, let's learn how to pray in the courts, okay? We're going to put all this together, okay? It's really simple. There is a protocol. The words don't matter. But by all means, get the podcast and learn the words, not as a magical incantation. If you're going to do it just words, don't bother. If you're going to get in the spirit and do it by faith, do it. How many of you have prayed for something over and over and over and over again until you thought, my goodness, I don't have enough faith for this? And then a voice came and said, no. You don't have enough faith for this. Let someone else pray that. I hate that voice. How many years have I wasted pacing up and down? Shasha boki baka moka dana maya. Make a Ferrari appear again in the middle of the room. I don't even want a Ferrari, by the way. What a waste of money. This is a protocol of prayer. When we go into heaven and we stand before the judge and we pray what is in the books of heaven, and we get into agreement with him, we open it up for him to be able to do on earth what he willed from heaven. I got one more thing, which is where the protocol comes from. Once a year, the great high priest of Israel would step through the veil. Through 1 foot thick, solid woven fabric into the Holy of Holies, sprinkling the blood of a goat, of a lamb, of a perfect lamb that was slain that day, not before the beginning of the world. and sprinkle the blood. And he would say these words, to buy Israel another year of forgiveness, he would say, Father God, I have sinned. Me and my people, I have sinned. I stand before you on behalf of them, and I take full responsibility and blame for my entire nation for having sinned, and I ask you to judge me. Under the covering of your word, because he stood under the huppah, and with the blood of the lamb, a lesser blood. He didn't say, God, please forgive them. They're really messed up bad. It has nothing to do with me. Whom shall I send? Send me, Lord. And they took a coal from the altar and they purged his mouth because was he a man of unclean lips? Any one of you, I make an assumption that you all, either that or you're really in the wrong meeting, that you all know Jesus to some extent. That poor guy in the corner, oh man. So if you know Jesus, what are you? You're a son, you're a king, you're a priest. A priest, I am a priest, I am a great high priest. He is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords. I'm a king and I'm a Lord. He's my king, he's my Lord. But I have a responsibility. I step into the courtroom of heaven through the veil that was torn on the cross. I don't have to get in the spirit and step through 12-inch thick. It's already there. It's already gone. Boom. Whoa. He, the great high priest, took upon him the sin of the nation, and under the covering of the word and by the blood, he asked to be judged. Now, I don't know about you, but if you feared God as much as those guys did, it's not in the Bible. I can't find it in the Bible. I think it's in one of the Talmud or one of the other, the Mishnah, this story about a rope being around the great high priest's legs and him having a bell. Ling, 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 ling. And if they heard that the bell stopped, they go, oh no, they've killed him. And they pull him out through the curtains. He was still in the spirit. I don't know if that's true. I think that's just a legend. So you go before God Almighty and you say, judge me. I did all this stuff. Judge me. What does he do? He forgets it. He forgets your sin. He remembers it no more. As far as the east is from the west. And he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. So you go in the court with whatever it is, and you take responsibility for it. And you ask him to judge you under the covering of the word and by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. And he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He forgives you and he cleanses you. Step two, hold the sin before you like an offering and ask him to judge the sin. It's like the iniquity. It's like the thing that could come back upon you. You ask him to judge it, and it's gone. Part three. Sometimes there is actually a spirit behind it. Sometimes you have an open door and you've invited demonic activity into your life. So part three, you ask him to judge them. to silence the voice of the accuser, to judge whatever it is that is accusing you, that has attached itself to you, and have it removed and judged. Then we like to do the sevenfold recompense, because the Bible tells us that when you catch a thief red-handed, you make him pay seven what he has stolen, lost, or devoured. And that is the protocol. And that puts the issue into the hands of the judge to then go do the thing that you've been warring for so long that you've had no success in. Does that make sense? Doesn't it make sense? Wow. How long have we wasted? No more. We go one step further at that point. We go, because we're in the courts anyway. We take another step onto the sea of glass and we come before Jesus. And all the treasure that was released, all the sevenfold recompense that came back, the treasures of darkness that were locked up and stolen from our generations, our family, whatever, our business, whatever. And we take it all and we lay it at Jesus' feet. Because I would far rather have more relationship with him than that sevenfold recompense. And anyway, he'll probably give it back anyway because he's like that. He's generous. And then we take communion with Jesus. Whoop, that's my mic, sorry. We take communion at that point. And forgive me if you think this is sacrilegious. Sacrilegious. But we reach up and we just take a pinch. And he loves it. He doesn't mind. And we have a bit of his body and we drink a bit of his blood. I take it right from the wound because that wound will never heal. So would you like to pray together? Shall we stand up? Shall we stand? Okay, let's do this first. Let's do something personal. Okay? Okay. Whoa. So I want you to think about something that you've been praying for a long time that you've had no joy in. Okay, guys, so get the thing in your mind. You got it in your mind? Okay, this is my issue. This is it. I'm going to take, now it could be you, could be your family, could be a family member. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. What we're going to do is we want to read out of the books of heaven. Is God good? Yes. Does God want good things for us? Yes. If we ask for a stone, if we ask for bread, is he going to give us a stone? If we ask for an egg, is he going to give us a snake? He wants good things for us. So, Father God, we thank you so much. Are you in your spirit? You are a spirit with a soul and the body. So are you in your spirit? You nod your heads. Are you in your spirit? Yes. Are you engaging faith? Do you believe that this is real? Yes. Good. Okay. You ready? Father God, we thank you so much. We step into the court of memory. Take a step. Whoa. Now, for those of you who are seers, you might see some really interesting things. I want to say, if you see nothing, don't worry. Just believe by faith. The first time I did this, I saw nothing. I heard nothing. Now, things have really opened up. I can see the critters and everything. But if you see nothing, that's fine. Just engage your faith, guys, okay? Father God, we come before you. Okay, I'm going to say I come before you because you're taking this on. Now, go ahead and repeat it out loud and let yourself hear yourself saying it because you want this to get into your head so that you remember the protocol, okay? So, Father God, I take responsibility for, and then you can kind of mumble the thing, for, and I ask you to judge me under the covering of your word and through the blood of Jesus. And I ask you, Father, for your verdict against me. And now listen, what's his verdict? Ha ha. Is everyone hearing a good verdict? I'm hoping. If you're not hearing a good verdict, we'll deal with you. Keep it for a second and we'll deal with that in a minute, okay? Hopefully you've heard not guilty, you're forgiven, whatever. Now the word says when he forgives you, he also cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Father God, we thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness. I thank you that you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Okay, now put your hand out. Put the sin there like a burnt offering. Put it out there. Father God, I ask you to judge this sin and remove it from me as far as the east is from the west. Oh. Maybe you felt fire. Maybe you felt it vaporized. Maybe you felt nothing, but it's okay. Just remember, he hates sin. It's gone. He hates it. Now, in heaven, there are courtly protocols, so what we do next is we ask for papers from the court. So, Father God, we ask, would the court grant us papers permanently divorcing us from this sin? So go ahead and reach out and take them. Take the scroll. Hold it or put it in your chest or eat it, whatever. Just take it and make it a part of you. Oh, put it in your belly. Oh. Now, Father God, in fairness, the accuser has accused me of this, and you have absolved me of it. Father God, I ask you to judge. Whoa. Judge these spirits, these forces, these powers that have accused me, and cast your judgment upon them. Whoa. Did you feel that? Has a burden gone? Oh. Okay. Let's ask for the sevenfold recompense. Father God, your word says that treasures are stored up in the darkness for us. And Father, your word says that when you catch a thief red-handed, you make him pay sevenfold. So Father God, we ask for the sevenfold recompense of everything that's been lost, stolen, or devoured from us. Whoa. Now, if you want to take the money and run, I totally understand. But I tell you, there's a higher way. I'm going to take all this loot, and I just step, onto the sea of glass. And I lay it all down at his feet. I join with the 24 elders, and I cast my crown before your throne, Lord God. And I give you, Father, all this treasure. I trade it back in for more relationship with you. I trade it back in for more authority in this area that I have prayed. I trade it back in for the ability to pray for others in this area. I trade it back in to know your heart for me and know that you always loved me, even when I was in the midst of my sin and my iniquity. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hey. Let that wash over you for a moment, and then we'll have communion. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bye, guys. Shasa tanayara kuya. Ha, ha, ha. Glory. Oh, your glory, Lord. Oh, your glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, your glory is so wonderful. Now I reach up. He commended Thomas. Everyone says, oh, doubting Thomas. But he got commended for, he's like, Jesus is like, put your hand in my side, go ahead. But greater are those who do it, who don't see. Greater are those who don't need to do it. Greater are those who aren't in this room, he said to Thomas. This is the new Matt version, the NMV. So I reach into the wound in his side, and I cup his heart in my hand for a moment, not because I'm gross or sadistic, but because I love him and I want to feel what he feels. I want to feel his heartbeat. And every time I do it, I can feel his heart beating in my hand. Oh. And then I take a little piece of his heart. Now, baby, take a little piece of my heart. And I have communion. I eat your body, Lord, because you told me to do it. You said I wouldn't have eternal life unless I eat it. So I eat it. And I feel my hand from your blood, from the wound in your side, and I drink. And I'm in one with you, Lord. Okay, you got it? You got it? And we were singing about England earlier, and we were singing about the scroll. We were singing about it's time for England to shine. We can do a corporate one if you want to. You're a king. You are a priest. So, you may need to take a step back to your starting place. Otherwise, it might be fun. We have a mosh pit. Okay. So get ready. Make sure you can take a step forward if you want to join in. Okay, we're gonna do it again, only to try to sync the protocol in with you. Okay, if you don't want to do it, if you have to go, that's fine. Don't sweat it. Okay, we're gonna pray for England. Whoa. Father God, we step into the court of heaven. Father God, the scroll of England has been opened up. The court is in session. The books are open. And the accuser stands accusing England of apathy and neglect, of not having fulfilled the scroll that you wrote. Father God, we stand in the gap as a people. And we say that we have sinned. We agree quickly with our adversary. We have sinned. We have been apathetic. We have not fulfilled the scroll. We have neglected our king. And we ask you to judge us as a nation. Judge us under the covering of your word. And by the blood of Jesus. And we ask you for your verdict. What mercy. What grace. Father, we hold the sin of apathy, neglect, and having not fulfilled the scroll, we hold it out and we ask you to judge it. In your fire, Lord. And Father, we ask the court, we petition the court for papers permanently divorcing us from these things. And we take the papers on behalf of England. Hey, take the scroll and we put it in our belly so that we bring it back down to earth with us. Let your perfect history for England be unveiled and revealed. Whoa. And Father, the voice of the accuser against England that has said we have been apathetic, that we have neglected you, that we have not fulfilled our scroll of destiny, we ask you to judge it. Judge the spirit of apathy. Judge the spirit of neglect. Judge the spirit of unfulfillment. And we ask, Father, cast your judgment upon them. And we ask for the sevenfold recompense. The treasure stored up in darkness. The things held back. The witty inventions held back. The treasures held back. And we call forth the sons to rise up to their rightful place. Father, only you affect the hearts of men. Would you send forth your angels to all those predestined, all those Wesleys, all those Wigglesworths, all those Finneys, all those Evan Robertses. And Father, we take all this treasure and we step under the throne room into before the sea of glass, before your throne, and we just trade it all back in, that England shall have its day, that England's people shall have more relationship with you, that England's people shall know their king and make him the king of their country once again. That England shall have its day. That England's scroll shall be established on earth as it is in heaven. So do you want to take communion? Ha ha ha. Would you like to feel God's heart for England? Go ahead. Reach up, reach up, reach up through the wound. Hold his heart in your hand. Just cup it ever so gently. And feel his heart that beats for England. Oh, Jesus. And when you're ready, go ahead and take communion. Take a piece. Oh. Whoa. 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 And go ahead and fill your cup and drink the wine of the new covenant. Pour it out for England as a drink offering. Let the wine flow through the streets. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for calling us to the courts of heaven. Thank you for making us your ecclesia, meant to govern, meant to rule and reign, meant to operate in your courts on behalf of your people. Whom shall I send? Ha ha ha. Whom shall I send? Send me, Lord. Send me. Yeah. Well, folks. Bleep, bleep, bleep. That's all, folks. But I thought it was good that we prayed together. Have you got it? Simple. I did it. Judge me. Cleanse me. Judge the sin. Remove it from me. Judge the spirits behind it. Cast your judgment upon them. Recompense. I did it. The greatest words ever. When I was a kid, I didn't do anything. What a fool.